You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Now, I want to set this up. If you're in Psalm 77, we're going to read it in just a second, two verses of scripture, and then we'll look at Psalm 106. But as our sister was exhorting you that God did something supernatural for his children at the Red Sea. As you saw, first, God anointed Moses to lead God's people out of slavery and out of bondage. But I want you to notice, God called them to go somewhere specific. Notice, God doesn't take you out of something without getting ready to put you into something better. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't just call them out of bondage. He gave them the promised land. See, God doesn't just deliver you. He's got a new plan and system for your life when you come out of that problem. And that was the truth for the people of God. Moses was not just supposed to take them out of Egypt. He was supposed to take them into the promised land. And so the Bible declares that they started their exodus and they left Egypt. They didn't leave there broke and they didn't leave there sick and they didn't leave there hurting. The Bible says when they came out, you read through the Psalms, the Bible says when they came out without a feeble one among them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even the 80-year-olds and the 90-year-olds, ain't nobody coming out with walkers with tennis balls on the bottom of them. Nobody was trying to get through the Red Sea with a cane. The Bible said they all came out strong, all came out powerful. Not only that, God did something supernatural. He said, before you leave, go knock on the door of all your neighbors and ask them, hey, I need all your silver and all your gold real quick. And you know what he said? I'll give you favor in the sight of your enemies, and they'll answer and do what you ask them to do. And the Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. So you know what that means? See, in the Old Testament, when the King James said those kind of things, it's like when an army would defeat another army. They'd go and take all the plunder. They would take everything that that nation had and what we call the spoils of war. They spoiled them. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about like some kids at the mall that have to have a leash because their parents don't spank their behind. I'm talking about spoiled, took the plunder. You seeing this now with the kids on leashes? Oh my God, that's a whole nother message. Anyway, but the Bible says they came out of Egypt, headed toward the promised land. They came out blessed. They came out strong and they had a destination to where they were going. But the problem was, is that the way they went, they ended up coming to a spot where the Red Sea stood in front of them and they could not get through. There was no bridge. There was no ferry. There was no cruise ship that was serving pina coladas. They could not get across. If they were going to cross, something supernatural was going to have to happen. Now, we've been taught for years that the reason that the sea parted for them was because Moses lifted up his staff. Now, he did lift up his staff, and God instructed him to lift up his staff. But the reason the waters parted was not because a stick got held in the air. See, the lifting of the stick was just an obedience unto the word of God. I'm getting ready to preach something here today. He obeyed what God told him to do. But see, God was wanting him to acknowledge, there ain't nothing we can do, Lord. If we're going to have freedom, it's going to be because your spirit brought us out. Notice that God did not call his people to finish their lives on the banks of the Red Sea. He called them to finish their lives in the promised land. So watch, the Red Sea became an obstacle in them going where they were called to go. Oh my goodness. And so that's where we get to Psalm 77. And I want you to see the real behind the scenes look on what happened that day. The Bible said in Psalm 77 verse 16, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It said, when the Red Sea saw you, O God. Saw who? Saw who? Saw you, oh God. Look, its waters looked and trembled, and the sea quaked to its very depths. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to read it to you from the English Standard Version. Listen to this. The Bible says, when the waters saw you, oh God, they were afraid. So when the sea saw God coming, it got afraid. Now here's the question we're going to ask ourselves. If God created the sea, it was his creation. wasn't the devil's creation. God put the sea there. But if it saw him coming and got afraid of his presence, why was the sea afraid? I'll tell you why the sea was afraid. Because God had already spoken a word to his children. He said, you're not coming out to stay on the banks of the Red Sea. You're going to the promised land. And God's creation hears his voice. So the sea had already heard God's word and was staying where it was in rebellion. Oh my goodness. So when it saw God coming, it knew, I'm not doing what I should be doing right now because I'm stopping his people from walking into their blessing. And when God started walking, the sea saw him coming and started to tremble and get afraid. I've seen some, you ever seen a kid act up because they didn't know their parent was in the room somewhere watching them? You ever seen that? And the kid's acting all bad around his friends like he's the man and talking like he wasn't raised to talk and acting like he wasn't raised to act. And the kids all around him are kind of standing there with wide eyes because they know mom's watching. Until the kid, he's like wondering why everybody's looking like this, and all of a sudden turn around and see mom and snap to attention. Everything changed. You were all bad acting like you wanted to act until you saw and heard your mom. Hey, look. What happened? Your whole demeanor changed. Because somebody was there that you didn't know was there. Somebody that had some authority that you didn't know was watching over you. And the Bible said the sea was sitting there trying to act cool. I ain't moving for this 6 million people. I ain't getting out of their way until it saw God coming. And when the sea saw God coming, it began to tremble and become afraid. And the Bible says, if you go down further, go down now to verse 18. The Bible says, verse 19, your way, talking about God, your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. Let me tell you why the water had to move. Because when God called his people to go, see, Jeremiah got a revelation of this, and he said, your righteousness will go before you. And see, Jeremiah said, the Lord is your righteousness. That's why we call him Jehovah Sitkanu. He's the God of our righteousness. She was exhorting us today, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. I'm telling you, he's Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah Shammah. He is the God that is our righteousness. And Jeremiah said, your righteousness will go before you. And see, Israel hadn't even started moving yet. But when Moses lifted up that staff, it was actually a prayer unto God, because he was saying, God, I can't part the sea, but we're going to get some freedom. It's going to have to come from you. And when he lifted up the staff, God started walking. And when God started walking, the sea saw him walking and started to shake until it had to run out of his way, and it began to part, and they walked across on dry ground. All his footprints weren't seen, but he walked through first. And what kind of ground did they walk over on? Dry ground. What kind? Dry ground. You know what that says? Because everybody in this room knows what it takes to make mud. It takes dirt and a little bit of water. A little bit of water. So that means, because when they walked across, they didn't have to go down to Foot Locker and buy shoe cleaner for their sandals. When they got to the other side. Dry ground. Not muddy ground. Dry ground. See, some people in life, they're not battling the big stuff. Some people, it's not cancer that's coming against them. It's just annoying relationships of people that just keep picking and trying to pull them back into an old way of living. People that are still Snapchatting them at 3 a.m. trying to get those pictures that you know you shouldn't be sending anyway. Must be preaching to somebody else. I don't know who. Close my eyes. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but people are getting the DMs that they shouldn't be getting. And you don't have to shout. I'm preaching good anyway. It's not cancer you're battling, but it's a small thing. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You see, the devil tries to subtly attack you, so you don't even know what's happening until it's too late. So, see, it wasn't just the big waves that God moved out of their way. Even the little droplets that would have made mud had to jump up out of the dirt and go with the rest of the waves. Even the little stuff that would have made muddy ground had to get out of their way. And when they started walking, they walked on dry ground. I came to prophesy to somebody today. Doesn't matter if what's attacking you is big or small. There's an anointing in this house this week that'll set you free and that'll bring every attack against your life to fall flat in front of your face. Somebody's getting ready to walk on dry ground. Somebody shout dry ground. The power of the anointing breaks every yoke of bondage. Isaiah 10:27 says, in that day, his burden will be lifted off of your shoulders. And his yoke from off your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. You know what's great about that? I love the last part. Because if that wasn't true, there might be a day that could come where the devil go get that yoke God took off your neck and put it back on. But God said, honestly, I'm not going to just take it off. I'm going to destroy it. So it can never be put back on again. The anointing breaks every yoke of bondage, breaks addictions. You might be on a pack a day. God could break you out and you never have to go take 21 steps to get there. God's got one step. It's called the Holy Ghost. They don't have to give you a little chip or anything. Huh? I've been free 13 days. See, that's how the world does it. The world keeps you identifying with the yoke. The yoke stays because the world wants you to keep acknowledging that the yoke's there. 30 years later, I'm a recovering alcoholic. How long has it been since you had a drink? 30 years, I'm still recovering. How long are you going to recover for? Huh? They want you to keep acknowledging the yoke like it's still there. That's the world's way of freedom. Just keep acknowledging you have a problem, even if the problem's not manifesting, just keep acknowledging you got a problem. But see, God does the opposite. God said, even if you're struggling with something, keep acknowledging that I've set you free and keep walking in freedom. Even if the devil tries to rear his ugly head up again, you keep telling him, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. I'm not a sick person looking for healing. I was healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. I don't go around telling people I'm a recovering sinner. I'm a recovering sinner saved by grace. That's not what the Bible said. Paul never wrote nobody and told him you're a recovering sinner. Just tell them all. Just keep your eyes on him, not me. I'm a recovering sinner. No, Paul said, look at me. As I follow Christ, you follow me. He didn't tell him, well, don't look at me. I'm a recovering sinner saved by grace. Hallelujah. I'm so filthy. I'm so evil. No. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What you see me do, you do it too. I'm not a recovering sinner. Come on. In this generation we live in, almost every worship song you hear, you turn on Christian radio, you got to turn it right off. Might as well just listen to a regular secular station. Everything's focused on how nasty of a person you are. I don't deserve it. I'm so unworthy. Oh, Jesus. There's an actual worship song that has this lyric in it. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs. Present wrongs? Are you literally sinning while you're singing the worship song? Are you like in the act of adultery while you're singing the worship song? Are you killing someone? You got the wire around their neck. Redeemer of my past and present wrong. Doesn't matter how much you don't like your mother-in-law. That is unacceptable. Stop acknowledging. I'm just a recovering sinner. We're all imperfect. Oh, we're so imperfect. We're all of us. I had a guy tell me in Bible school, you know what he told me? He said, Brother Ted, let me tell you, we sin every day, all of us. We're sinners. I said, no, we're not sinners. We're Christians. No, we're sinners, brother. We sin every day. You know what he told me after that? He said, let me tell you. He said, I pray for forgiveness from God every night. He said, let me tell you why. He said, because sometimes we sin and we don't even know we sinned. I said, are you serious? He said, oh, yeah, man. I said, you're telling me we can sin and not even know we sinned? Oh, yeah. He was like, yeah, man. He thought he was dropping heavy revelation on me. Oh, yeah. I said, man, the Holy Spirit sucks at his job. He said, what? I said, because the Bible said that the Holy Spirit was sent to convict sinners of sin and to convict the righteous of their righteousness. I said, if he's letting you sin and not even telling you you're sinning, not even convicting your heart, then he's out to lunch somewhere. But the God I serve does not sleep nor slumber. He's not on vacation. He's not taking a cruise. He's not at the buffet. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Quit going around telling people, I'm just a sinner, brother. You got to understand, I'm a sinner. No, you're not. New creature in Christ Jesus. Old things had passed away. You know what that means? They died. We had the funeral service and ate the chicken. They're gone. They're never coming back. In Jesus' name. The old life is gone. The Bible says God sets you free and moves obstacles out of your way. The Bible says, now I'm going to show you this. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, we read this passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So understand that the Word is God, and God is the Word. So anywhere in the Bible you read God, you can insert the Word. Anywhere you read the Word, you can insert God. Jesus was dealing with the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. The Roman soldier, he said, I got a servant that's at home, sick, he's got palsy, I'd like you to heal him. Jesus said, I'll come right now. He said, you don't have to come. You don't have to come. Speak the word only. And Jesus spoke the word, and the word traveled. But what happened? God traveled. So that when the word arrived at the house, God stepped out and touched the servant. Because wherever the word is, God is. And wherever God is, the word is. He said out of his own mouth, Isaiah 55:11. He said, when my word comes out of my mouth, it never returns to me empty or void, but it accomplishes what I send it to do and prospers in the thing whereunto I have sent it. Why? Because who's going to deny God? If God shows up, which devil's going to look at him and say, no, I won't? What devil's going to look God in the face and say, no, you can't bless your children because I decide I'm going to curse them? Who you think you're talking to? I'm God. Paul liked to say it a different way. Paul said it this way, Romans 8:31. If God be for you, tell me who can be against you. What he was really trying to say was, if God is for you, who else is left? Ain't nobody that can stand up to the Almighty God and tell him no. There's no devil that can resist him. There's no sickness that can stop him. The grave couldn't hold him. Pharisees couldn't shut him up. And I'm telling you that he's coming back again very soon. And the power of God is working on your behalf. So when God began to walk, the word began to walk. Are you seeing this right now? The word goes in front of you and removes obstacles. Somebody say, speak the word only. When you declare the word of God over your life, that word don't stay with you. It goes out from you. And when that word goes out from you, it starts going through your path. And whatever the devil set up to be an obstacle to you or a roadblock, pow. It Mike Tyson's that thing. Pow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If it has to bite the ear off, it'll bite the ear off. Whatever it has to do. Smack it out of your way. In fact, in the Old Testament, God said it this way to King Cyrus, Isaiah 45. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out ahead of you and make the crooked places straight. Let me tell you why he does that. Very important reason. If you understand, when you go to buy a car or a sports car or whatever, they will always advertise how quick it goes from 0 to 60, right? 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. 0 to 60 in 1.8 seconds, like whatever. So how do they determine that? They don't put it on some windy mountain road. You know what they do? They put it on a racetrack, on a straight path, and let that man jam the gas pedal and they clock it on what? A straight line. Why? Because every time you hit a turn, you got to sacrifice speed to stay on the road. Every time you have to change directions, your momentum leaves you. And God said, I called you to run with momentum. I didn't call you to have to slow down because the enemy put something in your path. See, who does the devil think he is that we have to move because he's sending stuff? I serve the Almighty God. Why do I have to change my course because you're trying to come at me? When I come down the street, you get out of my way. Huh? Devils, demons have to run across the street when you come down the road. You just keep on your path. You just keep walking. And everything that was supposed to be an obstacle to you is going to see you coming and begin to tremble and get afraid because God is walking with you. Somebody shout, get out of my way.
Get out of my way.
Hallelujah. There's an anointing that'll come on you that'll move things out of your way. Right up here, the devil had a plan 2 years from now to drop cancer in your body. The word's going ahead of me. By the time I get there, that attack's already been moved out of my way. And I'm walking in divine healing and health. Over here, 3 years from now, the devil got a plan to put you through bankruptcy, steal your finances, harass your family so there's no peace in your house. But the word went in front of you and moved that thing out of the way. I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. My brother in the blue shirt, can I use you real quick for an analogy? Come here. I'm going to show you something powerful. My brother here, I want you to come here. This man, because he looks so good today, he's going to represent the God, our Father. Hallelujah. Came ready. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. And because our brother looks so slick, he's going to represent the attack. No, looking good. Step forward, step forward. Now watch. You're going to be one attack. Could you be attack number two? Attack number two. Here he comes. All the way. The reigning champion. Weighing in at 184 pounds. Attack number two. And see, what's wonderful is this. I want you to both stand like shoulder to shoulder. The nice thing is, anybody here watch football? Who watches football? Isn't it funny to you how the running backs get all the credit? They get in the end zone, do their little end zone dance and all that like they did it themselves. I don't care how slick you are as a running back. You got five men with one purpose to kill you. And if you didn't have your five linemen in front of you, you'd be a pancake on the ground. You can be Barry Sanders all you want, try to juke people out and everything else you want to do. You got 450-pound men coming to take you out. But the linemen don't ever get the glory. But you know what the linemen do for you? They make holes. The linemen make holes in the defense. And when the linemen make a hole, it's so you can walk through it untouched. And God has more power than any lineman you know. And see, if God is your righteousness, and he said, I will go before you, I'm the word that goes ahead of you. So when I walk by faith, God is already walking with me, and he begins to work, and he begins to walk. All I got to do is stay under the shadow of the Almighty. And when I do, he just moves them out of the way, and I go through untouched. Doesn't matter which way I go, I'm just following the Lord. And see, he's making a hole for me, making a path for me. All I got to do is walk. And everything else has to move because the word's going in front of you. And when the word goes in front of you, every attack of the enemy has to get out of your way. Somebody shout hallelujah. Give him a hand. They did a great job. Somebody shout every attack. It's got to move out of my way. Say it again, move. Out of my way. Lift your hands right where you're sitting. I mean, there's an anointing here. Whatever was harassing you before today, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. I said, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Who does the devil think he is? That he's going to stop your family, stop your calling, stop your purpose, stop your destiny. He's a fool if he thinks he has the resources to stop what God's called you to be and what he's called you to do. Let me finish with this. The Bible says, And I want you to turn there with me so you can see it. Psalm 106. Just go forward in Psalms. Psalm 106. I'm reading the English Standard Version here. Now this is telling us, it's given more insight into the same story, the Red Sea crossing. Look what the Bible said. The psalmist recorded in Psalm 106 verse 9, English Standard. God rebuked the Red Sea and it became dry. What did he do? Rebuked it. What did he do? Now I'm going to say something to you here. Maybe you've never heard it this way. But when God's presence shows up, it immediately rebukes whatever is opposing his presence. You notice God didn't have to speak. Bible doesn't say in the story God spoke. Said he walked. He did what? Just walked. All he had to do was walk. All he had to do was snap a look. My father's an evangelist. 43 years he's been preaching. My grandfather's an evangelist. Strong man. My father could train me up to be a son and rebuke me and discipline me without ever touching me while he was preaching. I'd be acting up, doing stuff in the pew, causing trouble, all that. And he'd be in the middle of a point. And he'd be preaching just like this. And pow, he'd just throw me a look like that. And you talk about the fear of God comes upon you. Fear of God. Oh my God. You begin to tremble. Lord Jesus. You begin to pray. The altar call's giving you answer. Jesus, save me today. Lord, don't save me from sin. Save me from that spanking when I get home. Oh Lord Jesus. He didn't have to speak. He didn't have to break his message and rebuke the son. Straighten up. No. Pow. Just shot a look. And the look says everything. The look communicates the threat. Everybody say the look communicates the threat. God, the Bible doesn't say God had to speak. He didn't have to speak. His presence alone was a threat to the enemy. And as he began to walk, the Bible says just him coming through rebuked the sea. Do you think the sea was going to look at God and say, you can't pass through here. You shall not pass. Thanks, Gandalf. I'm coming anyway. And God began to walk, and just his walking. You know why? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What? Where his Spirit is, freedom is. That means sickness can't operate in his presence. Depression can't operate in his presence. Suicidal thoughts cannot operate in his presence. Anxiety attacks can't operate in his presence. Addictions cannot stay in his presence. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What this passage is telling us here is that when God shows up with his presence, it immediately rebukes whatever opposes him. And I love what he did. As they came across, till the last person was across. Millions of people, by the way. Millions. Scholars tell us anywhere between 3 and 6 million people came out of bondage on that day. Out of slavery. Every one of them walked through the Red Sea with no problem. And when the last one came out, the enemies came in. We're going to take them back. Throw the chariots and everybody go get them. And here comes Pharaoh, the armies, the horses, the chariots. All God had to do was remove his presence. And when his presence was gone, in came the attack. And what used to be open because it was the covenant people of God coming through, once people that didn't have any covenants tried to step in, everything fell back on them. I was watching a show, a history show, and you know, a lot of these atheist scientists, they don't even believe in the miracles of the Bible, let alone the Bible's true. And you know, you hear these reports, they're so ridiculous. And one of them said this, they said, well, you have to understand that at the time that this was taking place and the season of the year that it took place, that the Red Sea was very shallow at the time. And the Red Sea was only about 4 inches deep at the time that they crossed. And a stiff wind could have moved the waters aside. died. When I heard that report, I started dancing and getting excited. I said, oh my God, you're so powerful because you drowned Pharaoh's whole army in 4 inches of water. Something powerful. It doesn't matter which way you look at it. God's powerful either way. If he parted the Red Sea for the children to come across, or if he drowned Pharaoh's army in 4 inches of water, both are a miracle. But I came to tell you the Bible is true. And whatever the devil sent to destroy you, it's coming to an end this week in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke sickness and disease, depression and anxiety. Addictions have to go because God's presence is greater than the attack. Somebody shout amen. Jump on your feet all over this church and lift your hands to heaven as the musicians come back. I'm telling you, his presence is here right now. I said, his presence is here right now. This is going to be a wonderful, wonderful week as the presence of God is touching every one of us. Lift your hands to the Lord. Begin to thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his mercies, his grace. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, we magnify you. There's nobody like you. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take a minute and just tell him you love him this morning. Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Come on, tell him. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Jesus, we love you. You're wonderful. Presence is wonderful. Presence is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Open your mouth. Magnify Jesus. Magnify Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming very soon. I'm telling you, he's coming back. People aren't ready to see him. Now, I want every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. Because there may be people in this church today that if Jesus came back, you're not ready to see him. You couldn't look him in the eye. There's things in your life that aren't right, displeasing to God. You know it. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you there's a way out. Because Jesus loves you, gave his life for you, and wants to see you come home. Amen. And there's people, you might be standing here today, say, you know what? If he came back to the earth, I couldn't look him in the face because there's things in my life that are not right with God, that are not pleasing to God, and I'm not able to live for God like I should because of that. Let me tell you, today we're going to pray a prayer. And when we pray this prayer, the Bible says all things are made new. It's not a 21-step process. It's a one-step process. He said, if you just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. That's the word. If you're in this church this morning, you say, that's me. Preacher, I don't know if I'm ready to make heaven. I honestly don't know. I honestly am not sure. You know, the Bible says you can be sure. He says, these things are written that you may know that you have life eternal. You can know you're saved. And if you've got issues today, say, you know what? I need to know. I'm not ready, but I want to be ready. If that's you and you want to pray this prayer with me, lift your hand and hold it high, and I'm going to pray with you. I see it there, 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 over here, back here, back here. Who else? Don't miss your moment. You want to know you're ready to see Jesus, that heaven is your home, that sin is gone from your life, and that you are now a child of God. Lift that hand and hold it high. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Got to make all things new. With those hands raised, take a step of faith. Jump out of your seat and come stand with me at this altar. Come quick, quick, quick. Come on. Come on. We're going to pray together. Get out and come quickly. Quickly, quickly. Jesus is calling. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All things made new. All things made new. If you need to be at this altar, you're still in your seat, quickly come. Jesus is calling today. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Jesus is calling. Come on. Gather. You don't have to form a line. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Push in. Push in. Jesus is calling. Step right up. And when we pray this prayer, it's a supernatural transaction with heaven. Can I tell you something? The first lie, look right at me. The first lie the devil always tries to tell you when you walk away, you're still the same mess you were when you went up there. That's a lie. The Bible said you're a new creation. All things are made new. That's the word of God. So when we pray this prayer, I don't want you to mumble it. Don't say it under your breath. Say it with a bold voice. Let God know, I mean it today, and I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Pray this with me today. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me for my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life, until I die or until you come. Thank you, Lord. I am saved. I'm your child. Now say this, devil, take your hands off my life. I'm done with you. I belong to Jesus. I'm never coming back to an old way of living, in Jesus' name. Now lift both hands and say, thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, and for the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for saving every one of these. We thank you now. I ask you to fill every one of them with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray you protect them from harm and danger. Lord, whatever the enemy had launched to kill them, to take them out, to destroy their purpose in life, I rebuke it now in the mighty name of Jesus and command it to move out of their way by the power of God. I give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe it, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.